This is July the 31st, 2016, and we are graciously in the presence of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, however you choose to call him. In the one spirit, as the Son of God, he is the same. And we are so grateful today that he is with us here, bringing us through our hearts his blessing, his love, and his marvelous ability to move our life into a better place. And as we always do, while we're waiting for everyone to arrive, we take calls from our community. I love to hear from you. I love to know what's in your heart or what you need in the way of a blessing. So the Q&A line is open, and that is to press star 6 and then 1, and you're on. We have Nancy on the line. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Glenda. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful. Thank you.
You asked one day to say how are you doing with the rejuvenation of the soul.
Yes.
I mean, the release of the soul. And asking for, you know, things through love and everything. The other, about 2 weeks ago, I was sitting there going, oh, it's 100-degree weather, and it's very dry, and everything's kind of withering away. And I go, you know, I would love to feel some rain. And I go, oh, and I was thinking about how wonderful a rain shower feels and how, you know, things like that. We ended up having 4 days of rain. And everything around us was like 2 inches of rain, except for around my little area had 8 inches of rain.
Oh, my goodness. Well, see, this is one of the things you brought to mind, and I really want to share with everybody and emphasize, Nancy, and that is that prayer is not just the words we speak to God. It's what we feel in ourselves. It's the whole radiant energy coming from our heart. And you were sitting in the middle of that feeling with that radiant gratitude. And that's the miracle. That's the miracle, that we have the courage to feel it and see it done even before it happens.
I just wanted you to know it works.
Thank you. That's a wonderful, wonderful opening. And we have Pam on the line. Hi, Pam. I'm going to open your line right now, or I'm trying to. You may have to unmute your telephone. You're staying muted for some reason. There you go. You're on.
Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay. Yes, I'm having major surgery this coming Wednesday, so I'm just calling to ask for a blessing for all my caregivers and myself, and I trust that everything will go splendidly.
Oh, what time will it be? I'll offer a blessing for you, Pam.
9:30 Wednesday morning.
9:30 Wednesday morning, okay. You got it.
Thank you.
And we'll say a special blessing for you today so that you and your caregivers can already anticipate the blessing, just as Nancy was expressing to us about anticipating the rain, and then of course it comes. So we're just going to bless you in your recovery.
Thank you so much.
You are so very, very welcome. And I will continue looking around our board and see if anyone else has come on to say something. Well, no. Looks like we've got a pretty quiet group today. And that's okay. It probably means you are interested in knowing what Yeshua has to say through me. And I've got some good things to share with you today. But we do have a caller from area code 832. See, I don't have everybody's name because I get only the information that comes up on your caller ID. So that's why for some of you, it's only an area code. So it's area code 832, and you're on.
Hello,
Hi.
Brenda. This is Kathleen from Houston.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
Well, I am not feeling well. I just got back from Brazil because the cancer that was healed before somehow returned. And so I said, okay, we're going back for a very intense healing session with the many, many saints and entities that work with us there. And it's just a very supportive atmosphere. And so I believe that I can have another miracle healing like I did before.
I see it. I see you healed.
Good.
And I hold you in that vision totally and completely. And thank you for letting us know about that so that we can support you.
And I have a second part to this.
Sure.
You talked about change. Yeshua talked about the nature of change.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's on more than one level.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is this larger, it's almost like a topography. And you and I had a conference about that. And you said just wait to make any earthly changes until this larger scope comes in. Is that still the case, right? You said something about the elections.
Yes, it is still very much the case, but we're going to be going through some extremely major changes in the next 6 months, which on the other side will be not necessarily the answer to the golden age of peace. But let me give you a comparison.
Okay.
Okay. Just think about the world before we had an internet.
Yes.
It was a very different world.
Yes.
Even in terms of shopping, you could only acquire things that were available in your local stores.
Mm-hmm.
You were very dependent upon your local condition. You could only send letters by ordinary mail.
Yes.
You could only send packages by ordinary conveyance.
Mm-hmm.
There was no email. There was no quick correspondence. There was no global connection. Just think about the change that has happened in our world. And if the internet had not come about, bringing possible new business venues. The fact is, by the year 2000, at least in the United States and a lot of the industrial nations, we would have had a complete economic collapse. Complete. It was because the average person could then become part of the global market, part of the global community, that we gained a new outreach into a new frontier, and the world changed. Because of that, we became very, very global. Now, in the next 6 months, there are more changes about to happen that I would say would be of that magnitude or greater, which will ease the pressure that so many people are feeling, that you are not able to make decisions, you're not able to move forward, you're not able to get answers you need, and our personal economies are being so bled and so depleted, and we're working so hard under so much stress. Everything related to that will change in the next 6 months, and for the better. Okay.
Wonderful. That is
now, that does not mean that we have finished all of our evolutionary duties, or that we are completely out of our age of personal reckoning, or that we have entered the golden age of world peace. But it does mean a radical new step forward will take place. And I am not just blowing smoke out of the top of my hat. I am very, very connected to people and well-financed organizations that have both the technology, the manpower, the intelligence, and the global connections to make this happen. So this is something we can all look forward to. And in the meantime, I've got a message that I thought would just be, in keeping with the nature of the message, kind of groovy. At first, it's not going to sound like something that would belong on a blessing call message, but I think you'll see in relation to that statement I just made and where we're going and the changes we're going through. And by the time I get through saying, you'll see how relevant it really is. And it actually stems from conversations that I've been having in the last 2 weeks with Yeshua. Not so much about heavenly concepts as worldly developments, such as what's going on, what do these changes mean, and how can we facilitate the betterment of these changes happening. So this is a byproduct of those communications that I've been having with Yeshua, and also it relates very much to the first of all its kinds of webinars that I've ever held, the one that will be starting on Saturday of this week. It's an incredibly special seminar because it's 4 weeks long, but there will be 8 classes, and in addition to that, 4 members' jam sessions and shared emails so that you can communicate with each other, plus an hour-long private conference with me, because I want those in this webinar to really, really become grounded and personally advanced and facilitated to be highly operational in their next step forward in life. In order for me to spend that amount of time, I have to limit the number of people in the webinar to 20 people. And I'm making this a little bit extended announcement because there are only 4 places left, and it will start on Saturday. Now, what I'm going to be talking about and sharing with you right now is just a little piece of a little example of one of my messages to this class that's very, very different. It's not so much about spiritual enlightenment in the sense of theology, but it's about personal enlightenment in the sense of self-awareness, self-responsibility, and discovering where you are within yourself and where you are within the world. There are 2 basic axioms that apply always to all things, to all people. One is you cannot change from where you're not. That's why it is so important to learn that love is who you are. Because we've created a lot of concepts about ourselves. Whether it's I'm from Iowa, or I'm from the Netherlands, or I'm from a challenged family, or I'm from the cyber world. We think we're from places that we have created for ourselves. But that's not really where we are. It's not where the soul is. It's not where your heart is. And also, we can make the same mistake in the other direction. We could say, I am from the happiest family in the world. I'm from the best profession I could ever have dreamed of. And where you really are is in a dark night of the soul because you've never found the love you want. soul, in order to really, really be where you are, it takes profound honesty. And you can't change from where you're not. That's an axiom that every school of wisdom has stated in one way or another. Now, the other thing is, you cannot love from where your love isn't. You can't pretend to love. You have to be centered in your love to really give love, to really receive love, to really be love. And that's why that was such an important axiom for Love Without End, for the keys of Yeshua, and for everything that Yeshua has spoken to you through me. So, one of the things that we want to talk about today has to do with the attitude we carry around with us. And it's okay wherever you are, in whichever or any of the attitudes that I may be discussing right now, because actually our world is going through immense change, and it will continue to go through those immense changes until we arrive at a place where global peace is possible. So what I want to do, I want to talk about being cool. If you've been on the planet long enough to witness the arrival and passing of more than one generation, you know that the concepts of hot and cool for describing personal or social behavior have been definitely relevant, and they've been evolving. Hot is a behavioral style based on lots of energy and drive, usually resulting in some level of accomplishment at the edge of what some, and accomplishment or recognition, and sometimes competition at the edge of what somebody else is hoping to accomplish. Hot is exciting. It's challenging. It's always attention grabbing. And I know in my generation, it was really, really the thing to be, was for somebody to say, oh man, he is so hot. Or especially of a movie star, or recording artist, or an athlete, or anyone, or just a popular kid. She is the hottest chick in class. Oh man, hot was the deal. And then we began to notice people saying cool. And cool is a behavioral style based on the cultivation of more tolerance and much less resistance and competition. In fact, often avoiding conflict to the sacrifice of a person's own best interest. In fact, I think a lot of people, not knowing really how to be cool, did a lot of it through social withdrawal. Even the use of recreational drugs were part of being cool. Now, like I said, this may not seem like a meaningful discussion for Christ's blessing, but it is more than you think. Because one of the coolest messages ever written was Love Without End. It has adapted and united religion and science without resistance, all the species of nature without conflict, the earth with the cosmos, our whole human community living together. It has reconciled all religions into one basic common message. There's only one problem with Love Without End, and that's that it's still way before its time. We haven't gotten there yet. But as we move toward that time, we can still learn a lot about ourselves, our soul personality, and also about the flow of evolution socially, so that we can consider these two states of being. And I want to look at these two states of being on a little roll of history here so that you can really see what I'm talking about. But before I do that, I want to say, first of all, somewhere between hot and cool, there's warm. And always, always throughout history, the greatest people were the people with a warm heart, a warm attitude, a warm welcome, warm congenial ways, warm receptivity to others, warm words. And so I just want you to, before we talk about this role of history and where we're going, I want you to know that you can always find your place between hot and cool with the warmth of your heart, the warmth of a welcome attitude, the warmth of grace. And the warmest person I have ever encountered was Yeshua. Always a warm word, always a warm welcome, always the warmth of graciousness. So you see, these concepts really are, they really, really are relevant. One thing I always also notice is that when I pray and I feel my prayers being heard, I get this great sense of inner warmth. Just like my whole body is being filled with the warmth of the Holy Spirit. So temperature does matter. It does matter. You've noticed when you get extremely worried, extremely stressed, you feel so hot, you just want to have a glass of iced tea or jump into the freezer, whichever way you could pull it off. And then sometimes, when you feel so alone and so abandoned, you feel cold, cold and isolated. Sometimes I've gone into meditation and I feel so far removed, even from myself, I get cold, I get a cold chill, and I don't feel comfortable being there. And I pull back into a state of prayer, which is much warmer, such warmer feeling. So these are relevant considerations, but I want to talk to you about it, these considerations, in relation to where the world has come from and where the world is going, so that you can find your place in it. And we're going to start with the middle of the 18th century, when in the Western world, revolutions began to happen. Community, whole nations of people were waking up to the fact that they didn't like the way they were governed. People in the United, well, it wasn't the United States then, but people in the colonies over here were resenting taxation. They were resenting being told how to live their lives. And they began to form packs of resistance. That, of course, led to the American Revolution, the Declaration of Independence. And it was a really hot thing to do, in the good sense of hot. It really was the shot heard around the world, because it ignited revolutions all over the world. Other people followed suit. There was the French Revolution. There were all kinds of other revolutions that happened. And people began to wake up to the fact that they could do something about their life. And shortly following on that, well, there was the whole colonial era, where one of the ways people did something about their life was just to move somewhere else. They would move to Australia or New Zealand or one of the other Americas or Canada or South Africa, or one of the places in Asia. They would relocate, and they would go on to great lengths and efforts and hard struggles to cross mountains and seas. That was all hot. That was the hot thing to do. Oh, man, it was the hot thing to do. And then with discoveries and innovations, we landed into the Industrial Revolution. about 1850, 1860. And that brought about whole new ways of living and industrial production. Hot, hot, hot. All hot, which led, of course, to more competition, more industry, more jobs for more people, but also harder work. And the acquisition of wealth by certain privileged parties that then required the management of wealth by civil regulation, shall we say, and then the distribution of wealth and the cultivation of wealth leading to wars, more wars. And then the Great Depression. Oh, World War One, the Great Depression. Then World War Two. Well, by the end of World War Two, by the time the atomic bomb landed on the earth, we were so hot. We couldn't survive if we got any hotter. That was the end of hot. And my generation, the generation of probably the majority of the people on this call, starting in 1945 and going on for the next 15 years, the boomers, our job was actually to both restrain and cool down this planet. And we didn't know much about how to do that. We really didn't, because cool didn't exist yet. And so our generation mostly divided into about two directions. In one direction, it was to become more conservative and more structured and more organized and more pleasant. Oh, what pleasant years we lived between 1945 and 1965. Pleasant, pleasant, and quite conservative years. But hot wasn't over. The Vietnam War broke out. And the only way the rest of the boomers knew how to be cool was to react. And so the hippies were born. And with the hippies, the drug movement. We had to learn to be cool somehow. And cooler music, cooler poetry, cooler literature. We were trying to cool down a hot world. And it's not an oxymoron, really, that what followed after that was the so-called Cold War. How can you have war that's cold? Well, because we knew we had to cool down a hot, hot world. We had to. And then, moving on, my wonderful friends, moving on, the computer was created, the personal computer. The larger IBM had been here for a while, but the personal computer, oh, what a difference that made in the energy we used to manage our life, in the energy we used to manufacture things. We could have cleaner energy now. Less heavy industry. We were making progress on the subject of cool. And then the internet. What a cool way to communicate. And along with that was born the New Age. Now, I'm not saying that the New Age was certainly was the answer to the New World. It certainly had its own problems too. It had its own biases. It had its own ego. And I think I've never seen so much ego flaunted in my life as I did in Sedona, Arizona. But it was in the spirit of learning about cool and how to be more tolerant, more tolerant in a world that's got to be cooled down in order that we can live together. And one of the most cherished and admired leaders, who wasn't born then, certainly, he's older than I am, But he became really the icon of the late 80s and 90s, and that was the Dalai Lama, who led his people into a state of non-resistance, teaching the world how to be more tolerant, how to be in a state of peace and grace, regardless of what's going on around us, to embrace this flow of change without resisting it so much. So, my friends, the change is not over, and the requirement for us to continue in the cooling down of the planet is still here with us. A lot of the diseases, well, let's don't say diseases, let's say physical challenges that my generation faced were very much based on heat. Arthritis, heart disease, cancer. A lot of them were based on that. Now, we just need to keep down the resistance, keep it cool, my friends. We're going to talk about this and a great deal more about where your place is in it, how far you've come, and where we're going to go in the next few weeks in our blessing calls. And I think you see how relevant this really is, because when you receive a blessing, I want you to be in this place, inside this inner place, where you are no longer resisting whatever the problem is. Whether it's a relationship problem, a financial problem, a career problem, a health problem, a personal understanding problem. You can receive the answers so much better with less resistance and more peace in yourself as you receive the blessing. And you don't have to go all the way to cold. I don't, if you notice, I didn't use the word cold once except to talk about my experiences where I went too far and felt very isolated and moved back toward warm. It's okay to feel warm. Warm is wonderful. But let's work on relieving some of this resistance that's inside you. And let me tell you something really, really amazing about what you're going to realize about the value, and there actually is one value to chaos. Actually, there's two values to chaos. And you wonder why, if God is love and order, is the world, the universe, not always in a state of order? Why is there chaos? Well, my friends, actually, it's out of chaos that birth happens. The most chaotic season of the year is actually early spring, when the winds blow and the rains pour and the pollen is flying and the birds are mating and nesting and the rivers are flowing, and that's the time when the tornadoes start happening. Why? Because the earth is stirring. It's stirring. Chaos is part of creation. That's the number one reason for it. But the number two reason that it has value to you is that there are only two things, well, I should say three things, that survive chaos. One is the new birth that comes from it. And that's happening right now in the world. The other thing is that love and the soul always survive chaos. So, just be the love that you are, the soul that you are, and you will survive chaos. And things that need to be recycled and flushed down the toilet will be put back to the earth and washed away by the chaos. And that is God's way of nature. So it really calls us, it calls upon us strongly in moments of chaos, more than ever, to simply be the love that you are. And to know that you are a transcendent soul that is above and beyond the greater presence, beyond anything happening in the world. So with that, let's have our blessing for today. And we give our praise and our gratitude to Yeshua for having taught us all these things and for his continuing words of wisdom and guidance. I will say my prayer to Yeshua now, after which the blessing givers will join me in conveying the loving energy of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. Dear Yeshua, your words of wisdom are often beyond our comprehension, but we know that even when we don't understand, you've touched our heart and our soul and left the seed of understanding that will come to life when we're ready. We thank you for that. We thank you for all the seeds of understanding and love and wisdom that you've planted in the soul of our being, so that when we're ready, we will discover them and say, oh, wow, oh, aha, that's exactly what I need. That's what he meant. I'm ready, Lord. Please, I'm ready. So right now, we say together, oh, Lord, we are so ready. We are ready to receive. We are ready to be in this place where we are dropping our resistance of the world. We are letting go of our resistance of the problems, that you may enter our person, our body, our heart, and our soul, bringing us the living waters of the Holy Spirit, cooling us down, and the grace of God lifting us up. We ask this and so many other things in your precious name. Amen. Blessing givers, let's begin. And everyone else, please start your prayer. Amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, go and rest and receive. Don't think. Don't even continue your prayer. Just be in a state of quiet receiving. God bless you. All the days of this week, all the days of your life. I look forward to being with you again next week. And I wish you much love in the meantime. Bye-bye.